Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now then, so we've got a really good show for you this evening. We have the Connacht head coach, Andy Friend, who's going to join us around 7:30 or so. Things going very well for Connacht on and off the pitch. Julien Lorraine on Thierry Henry's struggles in Monaco. They're in 19th. I mean, it really would be extraordinary if they got relegated, but they're struggling badly. Big injury list. Thierry Henry is getting himself in trouble on the sideline as well. John Gonzalez from The Ringer looks ahead to the Super Bowl. And Michael Moynihan and Dunica Boyle talk about the GAA's ticket price increase. 53106, the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. We have Richie here in studio. Hello, sir.
Well, Joe.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Kevin Kilbane is here. Hello.
Hi, Joe. All good.
Also here, as you'll see, if you're streaming on Facebook or Twitter, is Kevin Kilbane's life-sized cutout.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen it, actually, as well.
Initial thoughts?
Fair play to Alan. Fair play to Alan Brogan for getting that in.
Stand up beside it there. Give us a look at you. Yeah. Watch your tea.
Yeah. I'll put that back
massive
up.
Vat of tea.
I'll put that back up in there.
If you don't know what's happened here, because in fairness, listeners, I'm not too sure either. I saw some stuff on Twitter about a life-size cutout, and now for no obvious reason, there's a life-size cutout of Kevin Kilbane in action against Cameroon in the O2 World Cup.
I was just saying it's probably slightly smaller than me, isn't it? But you were saying the knees are slightly bent.
So bend your knees if you're running.
Bring the knees down a slight little bit.
Yeah,
there you go.
Much spot on.
What do you think? Yeah.
It's not the most flattering facial expression.
No, it is not. It isn't.
You look a bit gormless, I'd say.
I am gormless, aren't I? You know,
especially Phil Jones there.
Yeah.
Ireland, Cameroon, 1st of June 2002.
Yeah.
Look at you there, strapping, I would say.
First thing I said, look to the boots, always look to the boots. I started wearing Nike boots probably around or about 2000, 2001 maybe.
Let's keep the wide shot here, JP. So
they were the ones. They were the World Cup boot from that year. So they were the ones.
Hold them up there. I think people would recognise those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the Nike ones with the bit of grey.
Yeah.
And then the grey tongue.
The side laces.
Never was a fan of them. The side laces, that's right.
Decent boots.
Were they?
I wasn't a fan of the tongue, though. I didn't like the tongue on them.
It's a bit of a half. It's not. It's an in between.
It doesn't know what it's doing.
Either be a tongue and be proud, or don't.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment of that. Yeah, but they were decent boots, comfortable enough.
Were you a Nike man generally?
Yeah, for a majority of my career. Yeah, it started off. I had Adidas to start with. Culpers, when I was a YT, I couldn't afford Copa Mundials. So I used to get free boots from the PFA. So I had them for like half a season.
Did you?
And I was on, £27.50. So I saved up.
A week?
Yeah, £27.50 a week. So I saved up for like, quite a number of weeks. So like probably just after Christmas, I bought myself some Copa Mundials. Always wanted a pair of coppers. And then I bought them. And then that was it. Because we had the AstroTurf at Preston as well.
And so how has all this come about? Why did Alan Brogan send this in?
Well, we were on Thursday night, so Richie and Nathan was presented on Thursday, and myself and Richie, and somebody messaged in, said they built a man cave.
They built a man cave complete with all sorts of bits and bobs and paraphernalia that one would have in a man cave. I think they're in Kilkenny.
Right.
The name escapes me. They said the only thing they needed to complete it was a life-size cutout of Kevin Kilbane.
Okay.
And we wondered aloud, was such a thing possible? And who knew that our white knight would be one Alan Brogan?
Yeah. So and he said to me, Alan Brogan's tweeted in the show. I went, what, the Alan Brogan? And it turned out it was Alan Brogan, yeah.
Are we sending this down to our Kilkenny friend? Then we are.
I presume we're going to have to say goodbye to it. A tearful goodbye.
Can't keep it.
We can always send Kev down.
You can't say it'll freak me out if it stays there for too much longer.
You should bring it down to your man in Kilkenny.
Do you think, yeah?
Yeah.
I'd do that.
Would you?
Yeah, of course I would.
Okay, done. There's a little feature for you. Kilbane on the road meeting the fans. Now,
Kilbane in a van meeting the fans.
Before we get into
with a cardboard cut of myself sitting in the passenger seat.
I didn't ask for this.
Enjoying retirement? Yeah, it's great. So before we get into the news round, I want to mention a very important football match happening this Monday. Get the teams there. I'll tell people what this is about. So this week, we've teamed up with the Irish Heart Foundation. They want you to show some heart. See what we've done there? For the perfect match. Challenge a rival to a charity football game in aid of the Irish Heart Foundation. Sign up at irishheart.ie/perfectmatch. So we're getting involved and we have a brilliant prize to give away. You get the chance to either play in the five-a-side that we're having with either Keith Andrews or Kevin Kilbane, and you're managed by either John Giles or Brian Kerr.
Yeah.
Wow. Not bad.
Well, it's called the Rest of Ireland, our team. I prefer to call it the Culchies. We are the Culchies, so it's the Dubs with the Culchies.
Dubs with the Culchies. We're told that Brian Kerr will manage the Dubs. John Giles will be an honorary Culchie for the afternoon. Keith Andrews, obviously a Dub. Kevin Kilbane representing Mayo. To be in with the chance of playing in this match, I was about to say fiasco, but that's a bit
looking at some of the players, you're not far off, Joe.
Yeah, that was what was on my mind. To be in with the chance of playing, all you have to do is to make a donation of whatever size that you're comfortable with to the Irish Heart Foundation and use the hashtag OTBIrishHeart. And we're going to pick somebody to go in the draw tonight and then tomorrow night and so on and so forth. And then the final draw will be on Sunday.
Yeah.
And obviously, bear in mind, the match is going to happen on Monday, 28th of January at midday. So I appreciate that might be short notice to get out of work, but it'll be worth it. Imagine John Giles as your manager.
Oh, that's a tipping point. But to be honest with you, Brian Kerr, I got Brian Kerr as my manager, so the lads will be more than happy.
You don't. Brian Kerr is the Dubs.
No, Brian Kerr is the Colchis.
I don't think so.
Brian Kerr is the manager of the Colchis. He's manager of our team.
Sorry, are you just saying this as like, this is what you would like,
no,
or this has been agreed?
Johnny Giles is manager of the Dublin team and Brian Kerr is manager of our team.
I was given false information last night.
Yeah.
Okay, right, let's do this then. So Brian Kerr is managing the rest of Ireland.
Yes, who do you want first? Do you want the Colchis?
Give us your team, rest of Ireland.
Well, I'm happy. I've got to say I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm delighted with the team. I'm, of course, captain and I'll have the biggest armband possible today as well, yeah, with a big C on, of course. Didn't happen so often, you've got to have it.
In keeping with the man whose ego has a life-size cutout of him in the studio, but carry on.
Well, we have Monaghan man Shane Hannan.
Okay.
So Shane,
Young and fit.
Shane can play a bit. We have...
I think at this level, legs are the most important thing.
Yeah, Donegal man, Ender Cole.
Another young and fit man.
Yeah, I think Ender plays a little bit as well.
Leinster's in your league.
Yeah, yeah, so Ender can play a little bit as well. We have Limerick man and ex-world champion Andy Lee.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, there you go.
A certain amount of natural coordination there.
Tipperary man, Shane Stapleton.
Yeah, good, solid choice.
Yeah, yeah. Blackburn Rovers fan and all that. Yeah. So Shane, happy enough with that as well. Galway man, Johnny Ward. Now we have a slight change
here. What kind of player is Johnny Ward?
Passed over Johnny for
play.
There.
Johnny can play. Johnny's a good player. I've played a bit of five-a-side with Johnny. He's good footballer.
You kept that one up your sleeve.
Nice footballer.
So you need a few technicians
in there. If I make the runs, I'm expecting someone that can pick the pass out, and Johnny can do that for me.
That's good, because I was worried that your team was all leg there.
Yeah,
we've had the runs.
And I've just come back out.
At your age?
Well,
is that advisable?
I'd be the one that would be picking the, expecting Shane and Ender to be making the runs.
I'd expect you to play, at this stage, the Glenn Hoddle role.
Yeah.
Hanging back, pinging 40-yarders.
Yeah. That's probably going to be the case. And there's been a change.
There has
been a change. There's been an argument in the office that I'm not playing for the Dubs. There's absolutely no chance. So, Raf Diallo has ended up coming in with us.
Yeah.
So
proud Leitrim man.
Leitrim man. He's coming in with us. So we've got Raf. So, delighted. Raf, hopefully he can play a little bit as well. I looked at the team originally. He was one of the weaknesses I saw on the Dubs team. So, we'll see how Raf goes. And another one who I've seen playing a little bit, who can play. It's Dundalk man, Dan McDonald.
Oh, is he in?
So, Dan's in as well, yeah. So, happy. Happy with that team.
Okay, give us the next team.
Yeah, the Dubs
manager,
team.
Manager?
Manager, John Giles. The great man himself.
Do you know what? That would be enough to tempt me to go and play for the Dubs.
Ah, come on.
That alone.
Come on.
Joe.
You're a Dub at heart anyway.
I'm crocked.
So you should come in. You should come in. Richie should be in as well, but anyway.
Right, give us Giles' his team then.
Daniel Cleary.
So for a start, tactically, you know, they're going to be encouraged to play.
Yeah,
they'll be playing it out from the back.
Get the ball down there and
get
it. There'll be no 40-yarders on this team.
Yeah, I said Daniel there. I used to go to school with a lad called Daniel Cleary, so it's Darren Cleary, sorry.
Oh, either way.
Yeah.
So Darren Cleary, Dubs, go on.
Darren Cleary, yeah. Jamie Moore.
Yeah, 98.
Does a bit of coaching.
He does
Jamie
a bit of coaching,
well.
Yeah. He's probably going to be trying to help Gilesy on the sideline. Yeah. He's going to be there with an iPad.
I actually want him to help Gilesy. I want him to actually try and give...
That wouldn't be a good idea.
With all due respect, right, John? What you want to do is...
that would be priceless.
That would knock it down well.
That would be priceless. Philip Egan.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
the way I view Phil Egan is, right, he reminds me like Dave McIntyre. He's always in the gym. He'll get up and down the pitch. He talks a great game.
There's a butt coming
but
here.
Crap, basically.
Yeah.
That's the way I see Phil.
Dave McIntyre.
Sorry. Yeah.
Dave McIntyre is officially crap. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you've played with Dave. You've seen Dave play.
I think Dave's very good. That's a terrible thing.
Works hard.
Dave strikes me as being all energy.
Oh, he's all energy. And he doesn't stop talking.
I was just going to say, he is a mouth on
the pitch. He doesn't stop talking. But give him the ball and it's a disaster. That's exactly what it is. Then we've got Joel Conroy, Simon Maguire, Adrian Barry. Now I've seen Adrian play as well.
This is horribly one-sided.
Adrian Barry could sink a team.
Oh.
Can you imagine John Giles looking at Adrian Barry? What he's going
to
think.
Tell him, Adrian, pass forward, will you? Pass forward. Or pass it to your teammate at the very least.
When they talk about great players not being able to understand how other players can't do things, Barry's going to blow Giles' head off.
Jesus! Adrian!
Oh, that'd be brilliant. And Dylan O'Neill.
Very, very harsh.
That's harsh,
Adrian.
And Kieran Bradley, as I said, Kieran Bradley was supposed to be in the culture team, but he swapped over with Raf, so Kieran Bradley's in there as well, yeah.
I mean, the odds of the John Giles Dublin team winning are about 1,000 to 1, unless some excellent players win the competition who are Dubs.
Do you think, yeah?
Clearly, Dublin needs some decent representation.
Keith Andrews.
Keith Andrews might change things.
Keith Andrews has got to be the man that's got us.
I feel you're a more easygoing, well-adjusted person than Keith Andrews. I think he'll start taking this very seriously.
Keith's waiting in a sea of
mediocrity. Can you imagine the wig will go mad?
I think Giles there will inspire Keith. I think he'll want a kind word from John at the end.
But yeah. He is waiting in a sea of mediocrity in that side.
Brian
will give a great speech to the lads. I know we're going to get great words from the great man.
You'll have a bit of rebel music on, won't you?
We'll get great words. We'll get inspiring. We'll get an inspiring team talk from
Brian. Giles will say?
Well, Brian will put... John will put... Go on.
Get the ball on the deck. Trust in your own abilities and go out there.
But not you, Adrian.
And do your stuff.
You don't trust in your abilities.
Except you, Barry. You're rubbish.
So harsh on Adrian Barry. I feel there's a mediocrity everywhere there.
In fairness, that is a rubbish team generally, apart from Keith.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
There we go. So it's all kicking off.
Sure, they work hard, though. There's a few workhorses in that team.
Grafters, yeah. But, like, come on.
So, I was going to say good news. The news is that we're, for the crack as much as anything, we're going to video this. And I think Nathan Murphy and Steve Doyle are going to do some commentary.
Yeah.
And
Because they don't want to play. They don't want to embarrass themselves,
Possibly. And we're going to have some analysis in studio. I may be part of that, I may not. And we're going to put this up on our social channels. People can watch...
Yeah,
the aforementioned teams doing their bit there, Kev. So that's exciting times. Mention of Steve Doyle, you've been commentating with Steve lately.
Yeah.
This picture emerged of you two outside Goodison, I think it was. Look at that. How many animals?
I was in Goodison, yeah.
How many animals were killed
Steve
in the making of those jackets?
Full moss in there.
Oh, that was, I tell you what, we've turned up, we've been some great gear that we've produced for the games.
It's like an Ocean Colour Scene reunion.
It is of an era that you two refuse to let go. Right, we've got to move on. News round then. So we've lots to get through. We're talking to Andy Friend, the Connacht coach, in about 15 minutes' time. And after that, we'll have Michael Moynihan and Donal Cabal talking about the ticket price increase in GAA. Dick Clerkin on OTBAM this morning, worth a listen back to. We'll play a clip of that. Are people, I'd be interested for texts in on that, 5316, the ticket increase, the All-Ireland final going from 80 to 90 euro. Are people upset? Do they think it's fair enough? There hasn't been one in, what, 6, 7 years now?
Eight.
Eight, okay. Yeah. So we'll come to that after 8 o'clock. You're starting with this terrible story, really, Rich.
Yeah, dreadful news that broke overnight. Guernsey police postponing for tonight the search to find the aircraft that was carrying the Cardiff City striker Emiliano Sala. They say a number of objects were seen floating in a near 1,200 square mile area off the coast of Alderney, but they were unable to confirm whether or not the objects belonged to the missing Piper Malibu plane. The small aircraft last made contact with land while at 2,300 feet close to Alderney at around 8:30 last night after making an emergency request to land on Guernsey. Reports in France claim the pilot had made multiple attempts to get off the ground originally in Nantes that evening. Cardiff Chief Executive Ken Shue says they're praying for positive news, but police say chances of survival are slim. The search will resume at sunrise tomorrow. The Channel Islands Air Search Chief Officer is John Fitzgerald.
The aircraft sort of found various bits of debris, and it guided the lifeboat and a nearby fishing boat into the area to have a look at it. And the notes from the search directors say they found a cushion, a bright orange item beside a dull coloured box, and lots of white items in the water floating alongside, and a piece of white metal looking trim, which was a bit bent, apparently, just looking at the note on the I've just received. Judging by the information we have received from the crew on board the aircraft, then yeah, we think we think the aircraft did break up when it hit the water.
Cardiff have called off their training session that was scheduled for today, and Nantes themselves have also postponed a French Cup match, while their Ligue 1 encounter at the weekend is also likely to be postponed. And Ken Shue, the Cardiff chief exec, says the potential loss of Salah is heartbreaking.
Words cannot just describe how the look on his face when he met us and we walked him around the grounds, and he was absolutely ready to give it a go, and we knew him then, and we really feel sad to hear of this news, because we have met such a great person. I mean, you could see the happiness on his face to sign for Cardiff City, and one of the best days in his life as what he has expressed, you know. So we are very sad.
Now then, Ulster have reacted quickly and promptly with the Simon Zeebo situation.
Yeah, Simon Zeebo himself thanking Ulster Rugby this evening after they banned a spectator for life for abusing the former Ireland winger. The incident occurred during Ulster's 26-22 Heineken Champions Cup victory over Racing at Kingspan Stadium earlier in the month. Ulster have also sent an apology to both Zeebo and to Racing. Ulster's statement today in full read: following a robust investigation into allegations of abuse directed at Simon Zeebo during the fixture versus Racing 92 on Saturday the 12th of January, Ulster Rugby sanctioned a lifetime ban on a spectator for breaching our stadium regulations. We would like to thank the many supporters who provided information to assist our investigation. We're all very proud of our reputation as an inclusive club, and the unacceptable behaviour of this one individual is not reflective of our supporters or the values of our club. We have issued a written apology to Simon Zeebo and Racing 92.
Okay. So Huddersfield then, they've appointed Jan Sievert.
Yeah, Sievert says he wouldn't have taken the Huddersfield job if he didn't believe he can stay in the Premier League with them. He's been speaking for the first time since succeeding his fellow German David Wagner in the job. Sievert takes over the team bottom of the Premier League table, 10 points from safety, but he believes he can keep the Terriers in the top flight.
Without being confident, I wouldn't sit here. And I think that we have to work hard and do our very best and prepare for everything. We have 50 more games, and my only focus at the moment is the task which I have to do with the team, and I will give everything to have good games.
You were at the Huddersfield City game at the weekend, Kev.
Yes.
I don't think anyone's expecting them to stay up.
No, I'm not. Cindy's coming there, saying the right things, expecting to stay up and everything. It's going to take something remarkable with that squad of players. What finances are available to the end of the window, I'm not so sure as well. So, I don't know. I think it's about building for next season for Huddersfield, that they can try then to get a push in the Championships, get
doing
back into the Premier League. Yeah, doing a Burnley, essentially. That's the way that I would see it, yeah.
On the cutout, it could be like the Alan Partridge episode when Kev goes to Kilkenny to meet his biggest fan. Could well be.
If this guy has like a full body tattoo of your face...
Well, I want to see the man cave. That's what I'd like to see.
I'd say he'd want to beat the guy first, then he'd want to see the man cave.
Yeah, I would.
Just do your research on this one, Kev.
Who's in goals? Crap keeper decides every five-a-side game, Brian in Galway.
Good shout, yeah. We'd probably have rush goalies.
Fly keeper.
Yeah, well, Adrian Barry probably going goal for the Dubs, I would say.
Giles' insistence 3 minutes in. Why are we giving Adrian such a hard time here?
Well, you started it.
I didn't.
You literally started it.
No, you did.
No, you literally started it, saying Adrian Barry's rubbish.
As soon as I said his name, you were on him.
Sorry, I didn't think that was the case. I feel it's gone too far now.
Is it?
Hi, guys. Many moons ago, I played in a Dubs versus Colchis match, which featured a young Mark Kennedy. Mark played the first half for the Dubs and changed over in the second. The Colchis won 6-5. Mark scored all 11 goals, says Rupert.
That's outstanding.
Wonder what level that was at. That couldn't have been.
It involved the Irish senior time.
Great player. great footballer. Lovely footballer he was, yeah.
Did he fulfil his potential, considering, you know, he got that move early on as a teenager? It's a big deal.
The move was probably too big, too early.
I did the interview with him a couple of years ago, then went to see him when he was coaching at Man City. It's funny when you say who fulfills potential.
You did. I think you overachieved.
Do you think that?
No, I'm
delighted with that.
No, I know what you mean.
It's such a tough one once you reach a level. You know, we've seen so many superstars at underage football. We've seen them, we've heard of them. And then you get into professional level and you've got to do something dramatically different. You've got to modify your own game to try and stay in the game. You've got to try and do various things that you weren't necessarily doing. And if you don't learn quick enough, you go out of the game. So I think he fulfilled his potential. I think he had a remarkable career.
The longevity of his career is actually overlooked.
Yeah, you know, he played in a really successful Man City side, a really successful Wolves side. Great move, become the most expensive teenager in history when he moved to Liverpool. I think he had a fantastic career. Yeah, brilliant career. Yeah. You did?
Okay.
You're looking at me there like I'm...
I mean, when you make that kind of move to Liverpool...
The move to Liverpool was probably too big too early. And Liverpool at that stage, you wanted to be the finished article going in there. And it wasn't necessarily the best
place. Yeah, I mean, I had the conversation with you. And I could have gone to Liverpool when I was at West Brom. And I pulled out the move because the message I was getting from Gerard Houllier was, you're not going to play. Now... Probably was the best move to take at the time to go and learn and maybe come off the bench and things like that and maybe get half a dozen games through your first season and work from there. Probably would have been, but I think he went and bloody had the balls to go and take that big move and move to Liverpool. And I applaud him for that.
I mentioned the ticket prices, so that was up for discussion this morning.
Yeah, Dick Clerkin defending the GAA's decision to raise ticket prices. The GAA took the step to increase €15 league tickets to €20, while All-Ireland final stands tickets will now cost €90 instead of €80, with Hill 16 prices for a final day up by a fiver to €45. GAA President John Horan pointed toward it being the first price hike in 8 years, adding that ticket prices were still priced favourably, while former Monaghan midfielder Clerkin says the increase is one the economy can handle.
Monaghan got to an All-Ireland final. I honestly, sitting here now, I don't think there's anything I wouldn't spend to have my family there. And that's the truth. I'm sitting now considering a holiday for my family, right? Like most people with their kids, all right? What are we all willing to pay to bring our kids over to Spain or to France for a camping holiday, whatever? Thousands. Don't do it every year on a whim. I would pay anything. Cheap. If I could get 4 tickets, if Monaghan got to an All-Ireland final, I had the privilege to get enough tickets to bring my family, I would be thankful for it. And what I would pay versus what that occasion and that memory is for a lifetime is insignificant. And I, that's the point people totally miss. The All-Ireland final,
it's not, everybody understands that.
A privilege. It's not a right just to go because you've gone to games.
We're going to play more Dick Clerkin after 8 o'clock and then talk to Donegal Boyle and Michael Moynihan about that story. Obviously, I think the majority of people don't feel the increase was warranted. Last story or two?
Yeah, bad news if you're a supporter on either side of the North London divide. Arsenal confirming that Hector Bellerin will miss the rest of the season. The right-back's been ruled out for up to 9 months after rupturing the anterior cruciate ligament in his left knee. That happened in the win over Chelsea at the weekend. Well, Tottenham's Dele Alli will be out until March at the earliest after suffering a hamstring injury on Sunday in their win over Fulham. The club confirmed the news after scans and a clinical assessment. Tottenham say they expect Alli to return to training by early March. They're already without Harry Kane, who has an ankle injury, and Heung-Min Son, who's off at the Asian Cup. And Petra Kvitova has reached a Grand Slam semi-final for the first time since a horrific knife attack at her home nearly ended her career. The two-time Wimbledon champion beat home favourite Ashleigh Bartley in straight sets to set up an Australian Open semi-final meeting with the surprise package Danielle Collins. The Czech was emotional during a post-match interview on court with Jim Courier and later explained her tears in her press conference.
Actually, it was a kind of mix of emotions of everything I've been through. Wasn't really, you know, sometimes I'm not really recognizing anything from the past, but, you know, when Jim asked that, it wasn't really easy for me to kind of see myself being a semifinal after everything. I always wanted to come back and play on the highest level I can and compete with the best and play the Grand Slams and actually be very deep in the Grand Slam, which is happening. And it just took me a bit to the tears, but it was a happy tears for sure.
Rafa Nadal, meanwhile, is still to drop a set after reaching a 6th Aussie Open semi-final. The number 2 seed in Melbourne beat the American Francis Tiafoe in straight sets and will next face the new kid on the block, Stefanos Tsitsipas. The Greek beat Roberto Bautista Agut in 4 sets to reach his first ever Grand Slam semi-final.
That's just pretty much done. I notice your phone is buzzing there, Kevin.
Just got a text of Dave McIntyre.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Wow. Capitals, what an attack on me. Very sad.
Anything from Barry?
Sorry, Dave.
It's not wrong.
Sorry, Dave.
Anything from Barry?
No, nothing from Barry, no.
Good. Well, I think it was shameful what happened to Adrian Barry.
Well, he'd be texting you if anyone.
Anyway, that is on the way Monday, 28th. So, hashtag OTB. What's the hashtag? Come on, JP. Computer's frozen. Great. I'll bet it has, right at that exact moment. We'll give you more the details again on the competition in a few moments' time. Has it unfrozen? Hashtag OTB Irish Heart.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to play in that game on Monday, hashtag OTB Irish Heart. Make a donation and tweet about it. Hashtag OTB Irish Heart. And then you're in the mix to play on Monday the 28th at midday. And it's all for a very good cause as well. So that's the news round done for this evening. Next up, we're talking to the Connacht coach, Andy Friend.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.